Okay, we are going to try to be Mavara Sugya that Be'etzem is impossible to explain. We're going to try to explain the inexplicable. So obviously we can't do that. But we're going to try to tap in a little bit into the Yud Gimel Midas of Rachamim. You can leave it today. The Yud Gimel Midas of Rachamim are... we'll do it later, guys. It's okay. It's all right. It's not going anywhere. We'll watch. The cameras are on, so if anyone tries to take them on. So the Yud Gimel Midas of Rachamim are really the star of Aseres Yimei Tshuva. In fact, all the slichas that we say are just really a hecha timsa to get to the Yud Gimel Midas of Rachamim. And... the Yud Gimel Midas of Rachamim are a tremendous gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us in the Yimei Adin. I heard from a couple of Bachrim that Slichos are optional. First of all, when people come and tell me that, I don't argue with them. I don't like to argue with people. But when I'm up here, I could argue a little bit. But forgetting the fact that Slichos is Minag Yisrael, the Yud Gimel Midas were created for us in order to succeed in the Yimei Adin. There's no other reason. It's like somebody saying a respirator is optional. You know, if a guy can't breathe, it's optional. You know, you have two choices. The Yud Gimel Midas are a chance for us to survive. In fact, it's not by chance that Yud Gimel is Yaakov Avinu and the Yud Beis Shvatim. It's not by chance that if you take Hashem Hashem, if you add Hashem Hashem to the Yud Gimel Midas, we're going to learn that Hashem and Hashem, the first Hashem Hashem, is not part of the Yud Gimel Midas according to the Zohar HaKadosh, which is the way we were makabel from Rabbeinu. If you take Hashem Hashem, then you get 15. It's Tesvav. The Gon says in Shir HaShirim that that's Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Klal Yisrael. The Yud Gimel Midas is all of Klal Yisrael because it actually allows for our survival. And we're going to try to explain how these Yud Gimel Midas are the opportunity for us to survive, the opportunity for us to have made it all the way from Adam HaRishon till now, to this generation, which it's a chiddush we're still here. It's this chiddush we're still here, and the Yud Gimel Midas have been helping us get there. And we're going to try to understand what's going on here. So we have to start from the beginning. We have to start from the very beginning. And that is, why did Hashem create the world? We never discuss this. We're not usually like an Eishah Torah seminar, but everybody needs to ask this question. Why did Hashem create the world? In order to understand Rosh Hashanah, which is the beginning of a year, you have to understand what Hashem was thinking in the beginning of everything. So Hashem created the world, says the Ramchal, based on the Mekubalim, for one reason and one reason only. One reason and one reason only. We can get into kashas if you have kashas on this, but one reason and one reason only, which is to be lehetiv imbriyosav, to do good, to give good. Hashem wanted to bestow good upon creations. So he created Klal Yisrael to be a nation that he could bestow good upon. Don't ask further than that, because we can't really know that much about Hashem. You're going to get a big headache trying to think about it, and it wasn't revealed to us. All that was revealed to us was this final stage, that Hashem, in his infinite goodness, wanted to bestow his good upon others. And this is the whole idea of a melech and an am. This is the idea of a king and his subjects. Because in a benevolent monarchy, in the kingdom of Hashem, the king has a nation that he could bestow good upon them. And that was the idea behind all of this. However, Hashem has another rule, which is that in order to get real good, you have to earn it. Not because you have to, just because, you know, people sometimes tell you have to work for a living. A guy won the lotto and he's sitting and learning, and a Baal Bus comes over and says, you have to work for a living. Not because it's important to work for a living. If you could sit and on a lounge chair, you know, with a pina colada and a gemara for your whole life, you don't have to work for the sake of working. There's another issue over here, which is that it's embarrassing to get handouts. The neshama needs to be like Hashem. Hashem is a self-made Hashem, right? You can't get more self-made than Hashem. Hashem is everything and anything. And he wanted us to be in charge of and creating our own destiny, that we earned our Olam Haba. Olam Haba is a place where we're going to have the enjoyment of being in front of Hashem, which is an oneg that's greater than any other pleasure that we could imagine, as the Mesillas Yesharim says in the very beginning of the Sefer. But in order to get that enjoyment, we must earn it. Why? Not because Hashem wants it to be hard for us, because he wants us to feel accomplished. The Mekubalim call it what's Nahama de Kisufa, which is bread of embarrassment. No one likes handouts. And the reason we don't like handouts is because the worst thing for a neshama is to get a handout. It wants to feel like it earned everything. Just like Hashem is a creator, we can be creators. And we always know, right? Since my kids are little, they go, self, self, self. They want to do everything. It doesn't change anymore. It's just we're not dumb enough to say it all the time. We don't say self, self, right? We get in a car, we want to drive. We don't go, self, self, self. What? We want to drive, right? We want to be the driver. We don't want to be a backseat driver. We want to be behind the wheel and in command, right? The reason is because the shorish of a neshama is that a neshama is its tselem Elokim. And just like Hashem created worlds, Hashem allows us to create our own destiny. This is the idea of coming to Olam Hazeh. Now, in order for this to happen, Hashem had to create what's called judgment. Why? Because judgment is what's called schar v'onesh, which is earning things. Schar doesn't mean reward. It's actually an inappropriate translation. What does the word schar mean? Payment, right? Schar really means payment. It feels so much better to get a paycheck than to get a reward, right? A reward is something that you get as a present. Schar is something you earn. So Hashem wanted there to be laws of cause and effect, that when you do something good happens. When you do something bad happens. And then we tally it all up, and look what you did. This is your life. And you feel amazing forever. You feel amazing about the good that you have, that it's your own. It's your own Olam Haba. In fact, Rav Chaim Volozhiner teaches us that that there's no Olam Haba. Olam Haba is not a place. What does that mean? It says that Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek Lit Olam Haba, to Olam Haba. What does it mean, to Olam Haba? It should say Ba Olam Haba, in Olam Haba. Says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, no. Every time you do a mitzvah, it turns into a place called Olam Haba. You do a mitzvah, it gets shipped up somewhere and builds a big mansion for you. Then it builds a jacuzzi, and then it builds, I don't know, whatever it is. All these things are ruchnias, don't get too carried away over here, right? These are much better than jacuzzis and much better than mansions. But Al Kopanim, you build your Olam Haba. That is the way Hashem wanted it. So the first thing that Hashem did was he created the world in total judgment. Not because he's against us, but because he wanted us to score 100 on a test and feel so good. But as Rashi tells us al Torah, and this is a very important yesod, Ra'a She'eno Miskayim. He saw that a world like this can't function. Why? Because we can't get 100. We can't. The only reason Hashem wanted it to be judgment bechlal was so that we would score 100 and come home and tell our parents, we got 100 on the test. But it wasn't working out like that. So what did Hashem do? Hashem now introduced something called rachamim. Right? He now created the world with din. There was judgment, but there's also rachamim. Now this is the most misunderstood concept, and please listen well, because I heard this from my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapiro, many, many times, and be'etzem it's mefurish in the Ramchal and Mesillas Yesharim. Rachamim does not mean, mercy does not mean, that you're done with judgment. That is not what rachamim means. Rachamim, as I would like to call it, is livable din. A test that you can do well on. A test that you can do well on. I'll give you an example. A guy takes a test, right? He thinks he totally failed. He comes home. He tells his mom he totally failed. Right? All of a sudden, whoa, he got an 85. That's a pretty good grade. And when I was younger, that was like the best grade I would ever get was an 85. I was like so relieved. I mean, you think you're going to get a 60, you get an 85. What happened? The smartest guy in the class got an 80. Got an 80. That was the highest grade in the class. So now what happens? There's a curve, right? We love these curves. The curves are the best. So what happens? This brainy guy with the glasses and is always in the books. So he got an 80. So now everybody jumps up 20 points. Now, is that just a free-for-all? No, there's a Seder to it. There's a Seder to it. If the smartest guy in the class was only able to get an 80, that means we have to recalculate. But it's systematic. So everybody else gets, he gets 100, and then everybody gets 20 points. Wow, that's pretty good, right? A 65 turns into an 85. That's not bad. But it's a system. It's a system that's livable. And Hashem did this. What Hashem now did was he did a couple things. Now, instead of when you do something wrong, getting zapped by lightning, Rachman Litzlan, right away, with Rachamim, there's still something you have to take care of, but you could have an extended period of time. You might have 20 years before Hashem knocks on your door and tells you to take care of that problem. And 20 years later, hopefully you'll be so wise that you've already done tshuva a million times over and the aver is gone by the time Hashem would ever collect. So that's one thing called an extension. It doesn't say there's no judgment, because if there's no judgment, you won't be proud when you get your grade when you come home. You have to be proud. If there's going to be free-for-all over here, then there's nothing that you did, Bichlal. But now it's much more livable. Hashem is giving you an extension. And that's the extension that we live on. Second thing that Hashem does is Hashem doesn't do the onesh in total charon af. When there was original judgment in the world, Hashem would give us a punishment that's exactly fitting the crime. Now, Hashem can give us a little stub toe one day. One day we you know those stories where people forget their passport? You know, they're at the airport. Those knock off a lot, right? And then, you know, you go to a restaurant and you know, they don't have any room for you, and then you get in a fight with the maitre d', and it's embarrassing. If you combine all of those things, it's death. Imagine 20 of those things in one day, somebody would jump, right? So what does Hashem do? Over the course of 20 years, he gives you all these little things, and you really did get an onesh, but you got a livable onesh. And this is how the world functions, with midas harachamim. In fact, the word rachim, which is mercy, also has the word machar, which is tomorrow, because rachamim allows there to be a tomorrow. You don't get zapped. And it also has the word rechem, which is the idea of an embryo slowly developing in a womb, a process that can take place without just, you know, dropping out of school right away after your first test. So this is how Hashem created the world. See, we're going to need a lot more time, but we're just going to get started. Whatever we can do. We're not going to go over time on a tinus. But that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world, with chesed, with din and rachman. Now, whenever you daven a regular Shemona Esrei, you're ma'orer rachman. You create more of these curves and more of these extensions and more of these breaking up the onesh that it's bite-sized and doable. That's what we do on a regular day-to-day, and that's how we function. And from the first day, Adam Arishan started davening, and tefillah is called rachamei ninhu. The Gemara says, why do women daven? Mitzvah tasei shazman grama? No, tefillah is rachamei ninhu. Tefillah is something that everybody needs rachman for. Okay, this was an introduction. Now we're going to a different stratosphere. Okay? This is the world as we know it, and now there's something totally out of this, totally in a different stratosphere. And this is when we really can't get rachman. When we didn't just get a 65 on the test. When we got a zero and worse, when we shot the teacher. Right? There's getting a zero, they're shooting the teacher. There are levels over here. And we had something called Chet HaEgel, okay? Chet HaEgel is not like, hey, you got a 50. It's not you got a 40. It's not you got a 30. It's much, much worse. So now, even in the system that we are in, we basically have to say, kol tuv sela, it's over. Right? Leave school, get a job, it's done. You're not going to do well on any tests anymore. This is the situation of Klal Yisrael. And what Hashem did over here was Hashem was megala. He basically expressed to us, Rabosai, I love you so much, and the whole reason I created this whole system of judgment is for your best interest, and I'm never going to let you go. I'm never going to let you mess up that bad. I'm going to give you a way to find some way that I deal with you that's higher up than rachamim, that's higher up than din, that's the highest place possible. And I'm not going to let you do this always, and I'm going to give you a formula of how to do this, and if you follow this formula, we will be okay, because we have a relationship. I also created you for a reason. I also don't want you to fail out of school over here. And I will, because I love you, give you an opportunity to fix the situation. So here we have in Parshas Ki Tisa, Lamed Gimel Tesvav. It says over here, Vayomer Hareini Nas Kvoidecha. Vayomer Ani Avir Kol Tuvi Al Panecha. I'll put all of my goodness on you, Moshe Rabbeinu. What is this goodness? Says Rashi. This is after the Chida Ego, when Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to fix for Klal Yisrael what they did. Kishenikzrekas Levakish Rachamim Al Yisrael. Hiskarta Lizchus Avos. You're going to try to mention Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Shim Tamas Chus Avos Eino Tikva. You're going to say, whoa, if we're running out of Chus Avos, we're done. So now we have nothing left. No, don't give up. I'm going to be Melamed Lecha Seder Bakashas Rachamim. Af Im Tichles Chus Avos. Even if there's no merit left in Klal Yisrael, even from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I'm going to put on a talis. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yud Zayin that we're not allowed to say this if the Torah didn't say it. But the Torah says that Hashem showed Moshe something. What did he show him? And don't ever think that Hashem has a body, because that's apikorsis. But it's an image. It's a concept. Hashem put on a talis and he started davening. Hashem started davening. This is getting very strange. We're going to try to explain this. And he started saying the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachamim and teaching Moshe how Klal Yisrael is supposed to do this. And he says, every time you do this, you will be okay. Why? V'chanosi es asher achom. Because when I want to give out things for free, I will give out things for free. In fact, the Medrash, the Yalkut Shimoni says, Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim and he saw all these places. This is, what's this? He says, this is for people who take care of Yisomim. This is for people who take care of Almanas, all these different things. And then he saw this big, big Otzer. He says, who's this for? He says, this is for the people I give for free, who don't have anything. And that was the biggest Otzer. Chanoisi es asher achom. What in the world is going on here? Why is Hashem becoming a Baal Tefillah? Now listen carefully. This is a little bit deep. Not a little bit. It's a lot deep. And whatever we can understand of this, we can understand. What does it mean, Hashem davening? What it means is like this. The Hashem that we've grown to love and know functions, like we said, with din and rachamim. Hashem himself calls on a special midah of his own that he only takes out on special occasions. That's called davening. When Hashem davens, it's like Hashem's taking from a very, very high place in his own hanhaga that he usually doesn't want the world to run on because we have to earn our living, and he takes it down. It's a hanhaga that just whitewashes everything, that takes care of all the averis and gets rid of things. For no other reason than Hashem loves us. And Hashem shows Moshe Rabbeinu. He puts on a talis. A talis, Rabbeinu Bechai explains, a talis is supposed to be white. And a talis, it's like putting on a whitewash over and calling upon something, a midah of Hashem Yisbarach himself that he has, that he never uses, and only on special occasions. This is the midah of the entire Aser Simei Tshuva. The Gon writes in his Perish on Safra Ditzniusa. Be'etzem, it's in the Zohar already, but the Gon is Marach on it. That these entire days were in a bubble of the Yud Gimel Midas of Rachman. We're in a period, and that's why all 7 days, like we said, fix everything. Everything's just getting fixed all the time. Everything's getting fixed. Because Hashem wants us to succeed. Hashem sees us working hard in Tshuva. And because we're working so hard in Tshuva, and it seems like we're fighting the impossible, Hashem additionally gives us a boost, which is that certain things are going to go well just because you are turning towards me and you realize that you can't do this on your own. That's a schus itself. The Ramchal says, how do you get a schus for calling on this midah of the Yud Gimel Midas? We said, you need to earn everything. He says, even this you earn. You know how you earn it? First of all, by going to slichas. Right, a lot of people have a big yitzhar not to go to slichas. Now you know why. because you have to go. That's hard. You have to be in shul longer. And you get credit for being there. And when you say these Yud Gimel Midas, if you believe that you're not capable of fixing yourself, that's also a schus. Say, Hashem, I'm working on brachas, but I still don't remember. This morning I was working on brachas, I'm not forgetting bar nefashas, and three times today I forgot if I said a bar nefashas. Like, look where I am. And I'm trying. I'm really feeling like I'm nowhere. Just do this for me. I'm getting there, but please, I want to have a good year. I want to have a good year. So when a person comes that way, that itself is a schus. And there's a remez. My Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapiro, said, what do we call Moshe Rabbeinu? In the Kel Melech, Horeis Alanu Lomar Shlosh Yisrei. Hashem showed us how to do the Shlosh Yisrei, the Yud Gimel Midas. What? Kehodata? What do we call Moshe in this? Kehodata La'anav. Isn't it strange that we don't use Moshe Rabbeinu's name? We call him a modest person. Said my Rebbe Rav Moshe Shapiro, Dover Naira. He said that the way you get Yud Gimel Midas of Rachmim is by realizing that you can't do things on your own. It's not that you're being irresponsible and not doing tshuva. You're doing tshuva, but you're looking at yourself. I'm looking at myself. I don't know. Every year goes by. I thought I would take care of these things. They just keep coming back. And then a person comes to shul and he tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he can't do it anymore. And you can also try to act very magnanimous to people in a way that you never would, which is you just, people wrong you and you say it's okay. That the Tomer Devorah says. He's medayik in this. It says in the Gemara that you should be asa lefanai. You should do the shlosh esrei midas. What does it mean, asa lefanai? What does it mean, do them? It should be, say them. He says when you act that way, when you let something go, someone bothers you and you're mochel them. So you're trying a little bit to act like Hashem in this midah, so that's also earning. But at the end of the day, you're not doing enough to deserve a freebie. But Hashem loves you. That's the answer. And Hashem takes care of a person who shtels tzu in humility to the fact that he can't do things on his own. This is the only way Klal Yisrael survived, is through the Yud Gimel Midas. If you want to know why we're still here, the Ramchal says this. The Ramchal says there are two ways that Hashem deals with us. And this is one of the most fundamental points that the Ramchal says. All of his svarim are based on this. Come on. There's something called Hanhagas HaMishpat, which is judgment. Klal Yisrael working and trying to do things on their own. But there's something else called Hanhagas Yichud, which is Hashem says, I have a plan here, and no one, not even Klal Yisrael, is going to mess up their own destiny. I'm going to make sure they succeed. And that's the Hanhaga of Yud Gimel Midas. And it's not by chance that the Yud Gimel's Gematria Echad. Right? Echad, one. Because the real Yichud of Hashem, showing that Hashem's really in charge, comes from the Yud Gimel Midas of Rachman. So let's try for just a few minutes, to touch on the Yud Gimel Midas. First of all, a major machlokas. Where do they start from? The Yud Gimel Midas of Rachman. This formula. So many Rishonim say that it starts from Hashem Hashem. However, we were makabel from our Rebbeim that when the Zohar HaKadosh is cholik on Rishonim, we go with the Zohar HaKadosh because not all the Rishonim had the Zohar HaKadosh. This is something that's meyusid. It's even brought in the poskim. And therefore, the midas start with kale. Hashem Hashem is an intro. Now you might ask, why do we have an intro? Right? Why do you have an intro? Right? What are we saying? So, let's look. Let's see. What does Rashi say about Hashem Hashem? One Hashem is kodim sheyechta. One Hashem is for before you do an avera. And one is after you do an avera and do tshuva. That's a little bit puzzling. What does that mean? What that means is the following. Listen very carefully. You can't ruin your relationship with Hashem. You can ruin your relationship with your kids. You can ruin your relationship with your wife. You can ruin your relationship with your parents. And you know what? There will be bruises. There will be scars. Because when you do bad things, it's just not the same. The first thing you say is, Hashem! You were Hashem before I did Averis. And Hashem! After Averis, you're still my same relationship with you. You love me just the same. The first thing we say in the Yud Gimel Midas is, Hashem, you were with me before I did an Avera, and you love me, and now that I'm down and out, you're still with me. It's the reason we say it is not because it's from the Yud Gimel Midas, it's the explanation of all the Yud Gimel Midas. is that we have a relationship with Hashem. This is a very deep concept. We're only touching it on surface. But the first thing you say is, Hashem, we had a relationship before I messed up. And Hashem, you let me have the same relationship now because you love me and you care about me and you want me to succeed. Now we come to Kale. What's Kale? Kale is the greatest level of Rachman. This is a quote from the Sefer Shari Ora, which is a early Kabbalistic Sefer from the Rishonim. He says that Kale is Rachmim Gmurim, the biggest Rachmim you can ever imagine. Hamida Zot Merachemes Afal Pisha Ena Brios Ru'uyas L'Rachmim. Even if someone's not deserving of Rachmim, the Mida of Kale takes care of them. And he says, this is why when we say Kale Melech Yoshev Al Kisei Rachmim, what's the first word? Kale. We just, as an intro to the Yud Gimel Midos, we say, Kale! You have to call Hashem with the name that loves you in the way that you would never, couldn't ever imagine. You start with Kale. Rashi brings, what's the raya that this is Midos Rachman Kale? Because when Esther was stuck in the palace of Ahasuerus and she was with the Avodah Zarahs and the Shekhinah was leaving her, she said, Kaili, Kaili, Lama Zavtani. Hashem, Hashem, how could you abandon me? Why was she using the word kale? Which is, she was basically saying, Hashem, I know you love me, even though I'm stuck in schmutz over here. But you love me, so where are you? You love me, you love me. That's how you start. The second one is rachum. We're going to do this very fast. Rachum is that it's true that Hashem sends out love. But rachum is Hashem sees where I am. Where I am. He understands where I am. The word rechimo means love. Love is where two people understand each other. Says Reb Shimshon Pinkus, a beautiful mashal. He said, to explain rachum, he says, imagine that it's Erev Rosh Hashanah, and you have 10 ties to choose from. And you're staring at that tie rack, right? And Rav Yisrael Salanter passes by, the great Rav Yisrael. And you say, could you please help me pick out a tie for Rosh Hashanah? Right? Rav Yisrael, He is Rosh Hashanah, Rav Yisrael, okay? And he slowly looks like, oh, maybe the polka dot, not clashes, stripes. You look like a winner. There you go. Right? Says Rav Shimshon Pinkus, Rachum is Hashem knows where I am in my life. I have to remind myself of this many times when I deal with Bachar. I forget that I was a Bachar. I was just as ridiculous. I was just as ridiculous, much worse. But you forget. As you get older, you forget. Know where I'm instructing? Maybe you don't forget. I forgot. I'll call upon him. Hashem is with me where I am. In my situation, this year, in Tufshin Ayin Tes, the things I need, the things I want, the things I'm struggling with, he's there, in there, with me, in that tininess, and he's dealing with my situation. You know, sometimes you feel like someone can't relate. Rachum is Hashem relates. Chanun is he gives away things for free. That when you say the word Chanina, it's that Hashem gives away things for free. Erech! Erech is Hashem gives you a long, long extension. Even longer than we talked about in regular Rachamim. He gives you a really long one. Apayim means doubly long. Super long. Erech Apayim means longer and longer and longer to the point where it's getting a little bit ridiculous. When is Stark going to figure this out already? But he loves us that much that he gives us that much time. Rav Chesed is how expansive the Chesed is. Not just that it's a strong love, but it's so widespread. It can cover any person, any place, anything. It's Rav Chesed. It's expansive. Notzer, now MS. MS could be the following. MS is, on one level is, what would we have in a perfect world? If the world was a true place, what would things be? So when we say the word MS, we say, Hashem, I want this to be a utopia. I want this to be a perfect place. I want this to be a place where things should work out the way they're supposed to work out. MS! Or another interpretation of MS is, Hashem, I want you to see that I really am sincere deep down. Look deeper and deeper and deeper until you find the truth in me. Find the truth in me. You'll see I'm serious. I get distracted, I know, but find the MS within. Notzer Chesed. Notzer Chesed, says Rav Shimshon Pinkus. Notzer comes from the word sinor, which is a pipeline. Hashem doesn't overwhelm us with his chesed. Imagine getting, you know, asking for a drink of water and someone throws you Niagara Falls, right? You drown. When Hashem gives chesed, it's like Niagara Falls. What does Hashem do? He creates tubes. so that everybody gets things exactly the way they are supposed to have them. Bite-sized. You know when you go to a shir that you're not ready to be in that shir, it just kills you to be in that shir. Better to be in a shir where they give you things exactly what's matim for you. That's notzer chesed. You don't just give chesed, but you also break it down for us. You break it down. And alafim is part of this also. It seems like a limitation. Hashem could give more, but first of all, Hashem gives to generations after. Schus avos. We get schuser things that we never did. It's great, right? You had a bubba who was saying tzenarena. You still are enjoying the schusim of that. Then there's no say o avoin pesha v'chata. Hashem carries all of our averas. Hashem has a soup kitchen, the Tomer Dvorah says, for these ugly monsters that we create when we do our averas. Really scary monsters. And he gives them, you know, food and is mafarnes them. He doesn't like them, Hashem, but he keeps them there until they want to kill you. So Hashem says, no, come to my soup kitchen, and he holds them there. And then if you do tshuva, they get zapped. But if not, they'll come. But Hashem feeds them as much to buy time. He carries all this schmutz. The world, our averas are a metzias. Anytime a person does an aver, he creates filth and shamayim. Hashem's willing to hold on to that schmutz and deal with it. And he says, what's the biggest chiddush? Avon and pesha are averas that you did on purpose. Different types of purpose, levels. Chata is things you did by mistake. He says, what's the biggest rachmim? For Hashem to hold your mistakes. The things you did by accident. Why? He says, most people don't do tshuva on those things because they don't even realize they did something wrong. So it's much more frustrating for Hashem to keep them because what are the odds of you even figuring it out? It's going to take you years, and if that, those are the things that if someone doesn't come over to you and explain to you what you did, you're like, you totally missed it. Hashem even takes those, and nake is the result, a clean guy. Right? At the end, you come out squeaky clean. That it's not just a process of giving and giving and giving, it's creating a new man who's squeaky clean. We should all be zeicha to this rachman, this yud gimel midas. All you have to do is say these midas. You don't even really have to understand them, but we're trying. You have to understand that this is what it's doing and come and say, I can't do this on my own. I'm doing tshuva. I'm trying very hard. Hashem, please help me. And we should all be zeicha to be nechta v'nechta v'sifra v'sos tzadikim.